Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church. Aletheia exists to make disciples who bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. To find out more or to connect with Aletheia Church, visit aletheia.org.
What's up, Aletheia family? It's Pastor Adam here. I hope you're doing great. We are in our teaching series called Enduring Hope. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I would love for you to go ahead and open that thing to Daniel chapter 6. And we will dive in very shortly to a story that pretty much everybody knows, whether you grew up in church or not. And as you're turning there, I just want to give you a brief personal update. Almost a month ago, I came to you and let you know that I'd be taking a leave of absence for an unknown amount of time. And the reason for that was to invest in my family, to do some personal growth myself, and to knock out what remains of my doctoral theses. And I want to just let you know, thank you for your prayers. All of those things are going great. And so Hope and I just want to say thank you for continuing to love us, care for us, support us. We're not gone forever, but we are turning into some really important stuff right now, and we appreciate you all very, very much, and look forward to being back with you when the season for that has arrived. But for now, I am really excited to be with you today and get to open the Bible with you and to share with you from God's Word about the story of Daniel and the lion's den. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Daniel 6. I'm going to read, we're going to pray, and God is going to speak to us in His Word. Daniel, the sixth chapter, says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Well, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.' Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, 'O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, 'O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' Well, then the king answered and said, 'The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked.' Well, then they answered and said before the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day.' Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed.' Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.' And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then, at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me wherever you are? God, I thank you for the scriptures. I thank you for the story of Daniel. Lord, would you give us wisdom and speak to us as we study today? In Jesus' name, amen. I cannot imagine what it must have been like to be Daniel. Can you? Daniel experienced the destruction of a city. Daniel watched his whole town besieged. Daniel saw the temple of the God whom he loved destroyed. Daniel was a prisoner of war, a man without a country. Daniel was separated from his family. He was dragged off as a refugee. He had no idea what his future was going to be. He had no rights. The events surrounding him, they were out of his control. He was a prisoner of war. He was given a new name. His friends almost murdered him. He was the victim of all kinds of injustice, racial injustice because he was Jewish. They hated him because he was excellent. He experienced religious bigotry and persecution because he did not follow the religion of the day. He had a string of really, really terrible and weird bosses. Can we talk about that? Daniel's life was hard. Hard in ways that, like, you and I, frankly, we lack the imaginative stuff to truly understand. So here's the question that I've asked this week as I've been studying this for you and as I've been praying. How was he not a broken down, battered, damaged, anxious, PTSD-laden wreck? Like, how is that possible? Life can be unstable, unsteady, and malicious, but that doesn't mean that you have to be. And that's what we can learn from Daniel's life. So let's think about this. If life can be unstable and unsteady and malicious, how can it possibly be that we are not going to merely be the products or the outcomes of such a difficult kind of existence? Well, the first thing that we see is that just because life can be unstable and unsteady and malicious, we don't have to be, because Daniel wasn't. We at least know it's possible, because here we've got the testimony of someone who wasn't unstable and unsteady and malicious just because everything around him was. As I mentioned to you earlier, Daniel was the victim of all kinds of interesting things. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6, we see that he's the victim of racism. We see that he's the victim of religious intolerance. We see that he is the victim of all kinds of, like, bad work environment. I mean, I don't know what your work environment is like or what your Zoom work environment is like, but I guarantee you, it probably wasn't this bad. And he was under the authority of, like, a really strange man. I mean, Darius was not a good leader. Who the heck even makes the kinds of rules on the whim of their advisors that for 30 days you can't pray to anybody but the king, and then decides that, like, and I said it, so therefore it can't be changed? That's strange, man. Yet, in the midst of all that, Daniel wasn't unstable, unsteady, and malevolent. How? Well, the first thing that we see, he had an excellent spirit. There was something going on in his life whereby he understood that because of who he was spiritually, because of his position covenantally related to the God of the universe, he could do what was before him with excellence, with an excellent spirit. Now, some interpreters have looked here and suggested that there is a spiritual force or being or gift of excellence. I don't think that's what the writer of the book of Daniel is telling us. I think he's simply saying that his nature was excellent. And we see that as he was excellent, he was the opposite of the stuff and the people around him. Where the life around him was unstable, he exhibited all kinds of emotional stability. I mean, imagine having colleagues who, because you were doing your job really well, plotted not just for you to get fired or for you to be, you know, overlooked in promotion, but wanted you murdered and were willing to change laws to make sure that it happened. That is some kind of malevolence. And yet he was emotionally stable. Nothing in the text suggests that Daniel was a wreck. Now think about that. He was a basket case. I mean, he was a therapeutic buffet of issues, right? I mean, we could find all kinds of reasons for him to not be okay emotionally, yet something about his relationship with God was able to stabilize him internally such that he was markedly different than the anxiety which was around him. He was stable in an unstable world. Further, we see that he was faithful and steady. My man got up and he had this habit of praying 3 times a day. Even though he had a high impact job, even though that he had a ton of responsibilities and he was in a weird and very difficult situation, he was disciplined and steady. I don't know about you, but I find that very convicting. And third, we see that just because life is unstable and unsteady and malevolent, we don't have to be, because Daniel wasn't. He wasn't because he was emotionally steady. He was faithfully disciplined, and he was morally good. He was holy. He actually believed what he said he believed, and it impacted his life. He obeyed the God of the Bible. We read here in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 6 this, that even after he was sent into the lion's den, he said that God saved him because he was blameless and that he had done the king no harm. In other words, he exhibited that love God and love neighbor thing really well. He'd honored God and he'd honored the king, who was his enemy, technically. Just because life is unstable and unsteady and at times malevolent doesn't mean you have to be. Because, first of all, Daniel wasn't. In the face of liars and libel and even lions, Daniel remained stable and faithful and holy, which is amazing. That means that we can be different from the unstable and unfaithful and very unholy and malevolent world that crops up around us. But if we are, it may get worse for us before it gets better, which is exactly what we see happens. You see, Daniel is faithful, and the satraps don't admire him. His colleagues don't go, wow, that guy's really amazing, and I want to be like him. They don't do that. Instead, they seek to tear him down. They want to move him because they're jealous of his power. They don't like him because he's a different ethnicity and a different religion than them. And all of that ugliness colludes to get them against him. Which takes me to the second point I want you to see. Life is unstable and unsteady and malevolent, and you don't have to be, because God will help you see it, just like he helped Daniel see it. As I mentioned, if you seek to differentiate yourself, it might get harder before it gets better. See, because Daniel's hope was anchored in God, he was not merely the product of his circumstances. And if your hope is anchored in God, then neither are you. Some of you watching this have been through all kinds of hell, that if it were to be broadcast on a screen like this, it would cause all of us to weep. Some of you have experienced religious bigotry. You've experienced racism. You've experienced sexism or classism. You've experienced being overlooked, or you've experienced being abused and abandoned. We've all been affected by a sin-stained world in different ways and in unfair proportions. That's just a fact. But I want you to see that Daniel never used his abuse and his pain as an excuse for abusing and hurting others. And that is really important, boy, especially in this cultural moment, especially in the political world that we're surrounded with, where it seems like the more offended you are and the more hurt you are, the more like right you have to be kind of ugly or unkind in public. May it never be amongst us. May it never be amongst the people of God. And it wasn't for Daniel. And so what we need is what Daniel had, for God to open our eyes to see that the world around us and even our lives sometimes are really, really challenging. Yet, because our hope is in God, we are able to see that there's something bigger at stake than just who wins in the beginning of November, or how much money we make, or what kind of political environment we're in, or if she likes me, or what's my body look like, or how's the bank balance. There's something else, something bigger, something deeper, something far more meaningful going on. The fact that God is the God of the universe and that He's ruling and reigning over all of the scuffles that we see and take to be the most important fights of our lives. Daniel was able to see that, which is what enabled him to not be unstable, unsteady, and malevolent in a world that very much was. My friends, if we are going to be different than that, we have to have what Daniel had, which was opening of our eyes, the enlightenment of our spiritual eyes to see that there's something else going on here. You see, human life is and will continue to be unstable sometimes. And you're going to be affected emotionally by the stuff around you. I'm sure that Daniel was. He wasn't a Vulcan from Star Trek. He had emotions, okay? He wasn't a stoic. Yet his emotions didn't rule him. Life around you is going to be unsteady, and sometimes you're going to be less disciplined than you wish that you were. Daniel sometimes, I'm sure, didn't always make his bed in the morning, or maybe he forgot to pray sometimes, yet he was marked by the outcome of small daily acts of faithfulness, and you and I can be as well. And finally, life is malevolent. There's real evil in the world, and it's not just in the world out there. It's present and fighting in the world in here, internally, in your world. I'm sure it was for Daniel because we're all partakers of the sinful nature, yet we all struggle against our own flesh. And by fighting against it in faith and having our eyes open to the bigger picture, we can be different than the world around us. Which takes me to the third idea I want to show you out of this text. Again, yeah, life is unstable, unsteady, and sometimes malevolent, but you don't have to be if you differentiate from it. If you decide, I'm not going to be like that. You see, Daniel shows us how we can actually respond to the unstable, unsteady, and malevolent forces within us and out with us by being emotionally stable himself. He did not categorize as trauma every difficult thing that he walked through, and he certainly didn't use his trauma as an excuse for acting badly in the world or losing control of himself emotionally, for dysregulating just because he felt like it. And because he was expressing himself. Sometimes what we say is self-expression, the Bible says is sin. And the question is, who are you going to believe? Daniel was shaped by the categories of Holy Scripture, and so he was stable. Something about his relationship with God was able to give him emotional backbone. Now, I'm not suggesting, my friends, that you shouldn't take your emotions seriously. Goodness knows, I'm very familiar with the world of mental and emotional health, and I believe that God wants to impart to all of us a very emotionally healthy form of spirituality. Daniel was very emotionally healthy, and that's my point. We don't have to allow the things that happen to us to define us. Just because it's unstable out there doesn't mean I have to be all dysregulated in here. The second thing that he shows us is that he differentiates in his steadiness. My man was a faithful disciple. He got up and prayed 3 times a day. He oriented his life toward the temple, toward what he understood to represent the presence of God on the earth. My friend, are you differentiating from the world around you in the way you spend your time with your self-discipline? Are you faithful in reading your Bible? Are you faithful in praying? Are you faithful in meditating on the Scriptures? Are you faithful in getting to church, either physically or virtually? Are you faithful in tithing? Are you faithful in engaging those who don't know Jesus with the truth and the grace and the changing power of the gospel? Do you do those things faithfully? Because I'm here to tell you that small choices can have massive, massive impact, especially when we make them faithfully. And finally, he didn't let the malevolence around him change him morally. Just because life is unstable and unsteady and malevolent. We don't have to be if we differentiate like Daniel differentiated from it. He decided in the midst of all that he had experienced, in the midst of mistreatment, he would be excellent. He would work for people and serve them as though he were serving God, even the very people who were so horrible to him, in the face of racism against himself, in the face of injustice against his people, in the face of being a prisoner of war, of bigotry, of terrible bosses, and the trauma of everything that he lived through. He worked hard. He honored the king. Did you hear how he answered the king in verse 22? O king, live forever. And he submitted to authority. Now, let me talk about this one. That idea of submission to authority, it's not very popular these days. We want to overturn the system. We want to resist. We want to be our own boss. We want to say, you know, that's not my president, or I'll never support the other side, or if this, you know, if this person gets elected, I'm moving out of the country. The Bible says that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Go look it up for yourself. That insistence that I'm going to do what I want to do and never bend my knee to the authority that God has instituted over me, that is a damnable sin and not to be embraced by the people of God. Because if we will rebel against earthly authorities that we can see, why would we submit to God's authority that many times we cannot see? Jesus himself said that if you're faithful with little, you'll be ruler over much. And so the way we differentiate from the unstable and unsteady and malevolent world around us is through emotional stability that comes from connection with God, through discipline, and through submission to authority, acting morally in the world, even when that authority is, in the case of Daniel and often in the case of your life and mine, it's not as good as it should be or could be. Life can be unstable, unsteady, and malevolent. But you don't have to be. Which takes me to the fourth reason why. Even if you lose it, even if it costs you your physical life, you still don't have to be unstable and unsteady and malevolent just because everyone and everything around you is. And that is one of the most startling things that we see here in the book of Daniel. Daniel was facing death. Death. And not a quick, nice death. Death by being torn apart by lions. That's terrifying. And yet he didn't use his fear as an excuse to become different than who God asked him to be. Verses 15 through 18 of chapter 6 show us that he responded faithfully, not faithlessly. Here's the reality. You and I, you're going to experience your own lion's den. Some of you have already, and some of you will. And some of you have and are and will. Lion's dens in our lives, they come in sizes, right? I like to think about them like little Russian nesting dolls. The first kind is the personal kind, the relationships, the kids, the friendships, the job, the body. These are the kinds of things that can bring about a lot of emotional instability and dysregulation at times. Your life situation will not always go your way. You will at some times be mistreated, and you will not have things go the way that you want. How are you going to respond? The second nesting doll is the political one. And I don't just mean like national politics. I mean the polis, the city in which you find yourself, the people nearest to you. Sometimes you're going to be governed in ways you don't like. Some of you are like, yeah, I am right now. Or yeah, I'm about to be, or you know, whatever. And we get all amped up about that. But if we allow our political reality to make us unstable and unsteady and malevolent, it's not the reality's fault. It's ours. Daniel was governed far worse than any of us ever have been. And he was faithful, and he differentiated from the world around him. And it felt like he was going to lose his life. Some of you are like, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. And if, you know, if Trump gets reelected, it'll be, you know, the world's over. Or if Biden gets elected, then, you know, the republic's going to fall apart. And we allow that anxiety to come into our lives and give us an excuse for faithlessness and immorality and malevolence and instability. And friends, if we do that, then we are not living faithfully. Now, listen, I'm not mad at you if that's been your experience, because I feel the exact same temptations. But Daniel shows us that we don't have to give in to them, even if it costs us our very lives. Because ultimately, the biggest nesting doll, the biggest battle that we're in, the biggest lion's den that we all face, is the one against the spiritual forces of evil in this present reality. Paul talks about it in the book of Ephesians. Jesus warred against it in every gospel. There is a reality, a layer of life, what some theologians call the unseen realm, that is populated by spiritual beings that hate God, hate you, and want to oppose you and God at every turn. And even if they do, and when they do, you don't have to respond to them as they treat you, even if it costs you everything. Which takes me to the final insight I want to give you from this text. Yes, life can be unstable, unsteady, and malevolent, but you don't have to be, because God rewards faithfulness. Sometimes, the more faithful you are, the more stable you are, the more holy you are, the more non-anxious you are in the midst of a malevolent and anxious situation, you will trigger the anxiety of the people around you. And they may come for you. They did for Daniel. Now, listen, I don't want to pretend like it's going to be easy. I said at the beginning, you see, Daniel was different than this. And in the end, it all worked out, right? If we could just zoom all the way to the very end of this chapter, like, Daniel's prospering and all is well. But he had to walk through some difficulty, namely, your holiness and your godliness, it's going to set some people off. They're not going to like you for it. And you're going to be tempted to let go of some of that godliness. And I want to plead with you, don't do that. You see, if you pursue this peaceful, stable thing, your peaceful presence will trigger the anxiety of others around you. Your peace may be perceived as a threat, but to quote Edwin Friedman, who wrote a really helpful book called Generation to Generation, he says this: to the extent a leader can contain his or her reactiveness to the reactivity of followers, primarily by focusing on self-functioning rather than trying to change others, intensity tends to wane and polarization cut off. Kind of like a tango, which always takes two, is less likely to work if one person refuses to dance. You see, if you refuse this anxiety, if you refuse malevolence, if you refuse instability, and allow your relationship with God to give you emotional power, presence, and holiness, you will change the world around you, even though it's very counterintuitive. You see, when things get really bad, we want to bite and devour one another. We want to get on social media. We want to do exactly like what the satraps did, except maybe at a different level. Which is why Paul, foreseeing this, wrote things like, I fear that there may be perhaps quarreling and jealousy and anger and selfishness and slander and gossip and conceit and disorder. He said that in 2 Corinthians. Or how about this one? If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. He pled with us to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. You see, even facing all of that, Daniel remained faithful and stable and holy because he remembered that the God he served rewards faithfulness, not excuse making. Now, up to this point, you might be thinking, okay, I need to be better. Daniel had hope that was anchored in God, and he was able to endure all of this terrible stuff. And so just because the world around us is hard doesn't mean we have to be, therefore I should be more like Daniel. And so it should, on the one hand, like if you sit here and really think about that, your reaction should be to be hopeless. I know that you want to see yourself as Daniel in the story. I do too. We always want to be David in the David and Goliath story. We always want to be Jesus when it's Jesus against the Pharisees. And we always see ourselves as Daniel when it's, you know, Daniel and the lions and all this other stuff. But the reality is, you and I are much more like those who put him there, or the fearful king who cared more about politics and making everybody happy than doing what was right, or even the lions. But I can tell you who we definitely aren't in this story. We ain't Daniel. You're not. I'm not. But Jesus is. You see, we don't just look back to Daniel to get moral inspiration to go, okay, I hope I can be more like Daniel. But we look back to Daniel for inspiration that points us to the one who makes it all possible for us and died so that we might be covered and forgiven when we fail to live up to the standard that Daniel set. You see, life can be unstable. It can be unsteady and malevolent. Yet Jesus wasn't. It can be unstable and steady and malevolent, yet Jesus saw it and confronted it himself. Yeah, life can be challenging and difficult and make you want to do all kinds of immoral things, yet Jesus himself differentiated from that reality. Life can be unstable and unsteady and malevolent, yet Jesus gave up his stable and steady and holy life to save those of us who are overrun. Life can be unstable and unsteady and malevolent. Yet Jesus' faithfulness was rewarded by his Father as he was vindicated in his resurrection. And his faithfulness, which is greater and more perfect than Daniel's exemplary work here in this passage that we've read, means not only that we can look back and say, I want to be like Jesus, but we can look back and praise God that he enables us to be like him by the presence of his Spirit, and he forgives us and accepts us when we fail him anyway, because he did what Daniel did times 1,000 for all of us in his family, precisely for those of us who fail, even when we fail most miserably. You see, this message should, as I said, make you a little hopeless, but if you allow Daniel to point you to the greater prophet, the more faithful leader, the one who was more excellent than all of us, who went into the lion's den of death, whose tomb was sealed by another signet ring, and who came out again because his God delivered him from the jaws of death. If you allow Daniel's story in the lion's den to point you to the greater Daniel, King Jesus, then soon after, your hopelessness will give way to invincible, enduring hopefulness, because Jesus was stable. Jesus was steady. And Jesus was faithful for me and for you. He can forgive me and heal me and restore me. And he can do that for you. And by faith in him and his grace, I can become more stable, more faithful, and more holy too. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening to this, I want you to know if you've anchored your hope in the God that Daniel served, in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the gospel, then how might the Spirit right now wish to empower you to become more emotionally stable, more spiritually steady and faithful, and more happy and holy? What is God saying to you? Right now in the chat, we've got people who love you, who've been praying for you, and would love to talk with you about what God might be doing and how we as a church family can come alongside you, can be more involved than just, you know, a pastor on a screen, but spiritual family walking alongside you as we watch God do this by his grace in us as a church family. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to know that there's hope for you, man. You probably already know that life can be unsteady and malevolent and difficult and challenging, but I want you to know that by faith in Jesus, it will not always be this way. Life is not a power game. Life is not merely the sum of your pain. Life is not merely the outcome of the intersection of different privileges or oppressions. Life is not merely politics. It's not merely money or body or success or anything in this veil. Life is something God created and God the Son redeemed and God the Spirit wishes to renew in you by faith in the gospel. And if you trust in Jesus and believe that gospel today, he will give you peace and forgiveness and the power to be different than you are. There are people right now who would love to stand with you and love to pray with you if you would receive their faithfulness and their assistance right now. Can you imagine what life would be like if, even though it is unstable and unsteady and malevolent sometimes, we didn't have to be? Listen to how the story ends. You see, at the very end, evil is put away. All the malevolent and evil actors in this story, they're all thrown in the lions and they're all destroyed. Then all the people, all the normal folks, in the empire of Persia are blessed by hearing the good news of Daniel's God. And at the very end, it says this. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. You see, the king and the nation rejoiced. Daniel prospered. And justice rolled down like a river. Can you imagine what our world would look like if, in the face of instability and unsteadiness and horrible malevolence, the people of God, the church, you and I, didn't have to be? What kind of world would that create? What kind of peace would that bring? What kind of reputation would that give Jesus in our generation? How would that make your neighborhood different? See, I know right now we're all in our heads about a national election, but the fact of the matter is, Daniel shows us that we are most responsible for that which is most proximate to us. Even if your favorite candidate wins, he ain't gonna listen to you. He's not calling you up for advice. Very few people have been called to that level. But we've all been called down here at the grassroots. We've all been called to be faithful in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our dorms, in our jobs, in our relationships right here. And that which is most proximate to us is that which we are most responsible for. Can you imagine then how much better everything around you would be if in the face of unsteadiness and instability and malevolence, you didn't have to be? That's what I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray that because of what Jesus has done, we might get a vision for being faithful right here at the grassroots individually, right here in our neighborhoods for our church campuses and locations, right here in our small groups, right here in our families, and differentiate ourselves from the world around us by the Spirit and the presence and the power of Jesus. Oh God, do this in us. Help us as we grow in faithfulness to be more and more like your Son. We love you, God, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure love you, church. God bless you.